I was so last Monday when the bannings were announced, we're like making coffee in the morning, and I turned to Liz and I was like, "So Liz," and I have this like a certain like tone about me or something like that. She's like, "Something happened." She immediately knows, and she's like, "New set? No, tournament. Is tournament coming up? Bannings, bannings. Was it a banning?" And I was like, "It was a banning."
Bannings, bannings.
She's like, "Is it a good banning? I think it's a good banning." I was like, "It's a good banning."
Oh, it was so sweet.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So then she's like, "Are you guys gonna do a potty like tonight? Like emergency potty?"
Boys and girls want to hear a true story. One day morning, Ian had some bands for me. He said, "I heard you had had enough of these two or three cars. We're gonna shake things up." And he took the cars that I hated away. Oko, Dreadhorde, Astrolabe, and I looked at a meta that was fully a no. Suit four explorers, I was ready to go. Well, what you do with the evenings at home? Playing alone on your bedroom floor, cause you're lonely. And the only way to be it is to drill the decks, spend a little bit of money. Astrolabe is gone, we can draw a card now. Even out of lockdown, play it across here. So for you, this is just a good time. But for me, this is Nick for life.
Hello and welcome to the Canadian Threshold, the legacy podcast that's casting Apex Devastator and cascading into Sorcerer's Spyglass, Sorcerer's Spyglass, Sorcerer's Spyglass, and Sorcerer's Spyglass. My name is Quinnamore. Are you just jumping right in?
I am. I was just scrolling through the 5-0s right before you started, and I was like, "Oh, Apex Devastator, I got to pause on this one."
We'll get into more of this later, because we're in an exciting new world of Legacy. My name is Quinnamore. I'm walking to this new world, as always, with my friend and co-host, Jeff Kinsey.
I can't contain myself. I'm very excited.
He's too excited. I cascaded right into him. but I want you to know that both of his sides cost less than I do, because they fixed that while they were fixing the rest of the format. And we are joined, as always, with our friend and co-host, Mr. Brendan McBain. McBain, how's it going?
I didn't even know what Apex Devastator did. I just looked it up. And
it's the ultimate Timmy card. I saw it in the spoiler season, and I was just like, I'm putting this in a commander deck. Into underscore play, one up me, and put it into a legacy deck in 5-0 to league. Imagine seeing that on the stack.
I think that the ultimate dream is you play Cavern of Souls and you like name Chimera and they're like, "Oh no."
Nothing good can happen, right? Like,
I like to think that in like the design meeting for, was it Commander Legends that was in? I don't know. You know, they're sitting around and somebody's like, "Okay, I have an idea. It's 10 mana." I'm like, "Okay, sure." You're like, it's a Chimera, great. And it has Cascade, 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 Cascade. And they're like, "Well, we got to tone this back a little bit, maybe." there was a meeting where somebody decided like a range between 3 and 5 cascades.
So I just want to point out that there's 5 heads on this thing, but it only cascades 4 times.
The first head, it's 1 head, and then 4 more.
Okay.
You get 5 spells total.
And I was just going to say, I'm like, isn't a Chimera, doesn't have a goat? And then I just saw the art and I'm like, yeah, there's a goat in there. All right, fine. All right. This is like the most top-down card I think I've ever seen in terms of design.
It's so sweet. I played one in Commander and someone was like, "What is that, a tendon?" I'm like, "Fuck, I don't know. Who cares? I'm about to play 4 spells. I don't care." I'm disappointed because you could hit a Velki off this. And there's no Velki in this deck. You could hit a Velki and play Tybalt off this, legit.
Off the same like Apex Devastator on the stack.
Yeah.
You could cast Apex Devastator and hit the Sultai Ultimatum and then go get your Velki.
Now we're talking. Now we're blending. This is what people have come for, this kind of strategy. Blending of Legacy and Standard's best deck 3 weeks ago.
Oh, that's just beautiful.
We would start with some housekeeping. There is none.
I got nothing. I've been scouring the internet. Nothing's happening. The Octagon's happening, I guess. Sign up for that. That's cool.
It's kind of a shame that there's not... Oh, well, actually, Here's a good question for you. Is it a shame that there's not a big tournament? Or is it kind of good because no one, or not no one, less people are incentivized to just coalesce around the best deck and people are kind of free to just do their thing?
I think that's exactly it. It's like when God accounts get released and everyone just goes and like, you kind of open the, you open the gates and the pigs just run out and they just do whatever. Because that's a metaphor.
Pigs rolling in shit here.
Because that's apparently a metaphor.
30 to 50 feral hogs that aren't going to be turned into elks.
Exactly. And yeah, and you just like, and everyone just gets to run around and experiment and have fun. Like it's, I think it's awesome.
You know, they should have, to make up for like the damage Oko and friends did to the format for the week after it's banned, they should have just turned on God accounts for everybody. Like just go nuts.
Can you imagine how in all seriousness, I think that might have been a good business idea because people would have been stoked.
Yeah, it would have been sick.
Like I would have just bled out tickets.
To be fair, they changed like almost every format. So like if they just turned God accounts on for everyone.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Imagine how much money they would have made.
It would have been like when like the World Cup happens and like the world's productivity drops by like 5%. But basically for Magic cards, so nothing would have happened.
Free business advice for WotC. I don't know. I would have spent, I would have been happy spending like, I don't know, like $100 on tickets. I think.
And like, if think about all the junk you'd run through leagues, because like you're just not going to hit that like Oko roadblock and be like, why have I built this deck? Like obviously like, you're going to get punished by good decks, but like, yeah, just fire everything through.
Everybody has an idea of what's good, but nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
Like now we know that it's Apex Devastator.
But... let's not spoil the ending here. Like Quinn, what kind of Magic have you been playing? What have you been up to?
I went back to my old standby. I sleeved up in effect. I was telling you guys before the show, the last time I top eight at a paper event, which is like over 2 years ago now. So that sounds, that seems great.
The before times.
Yeah.
That was only January 2019.
Yeah.
It feels way like further on than that.
You just assume Quinn hasn't won anything for a long time.
Actually, no, I top eight after that with a Reanimator. I'll have you know. Last time I top eight anything with Infect, but I played almost the exact same deck as I played at that tournament in Seattle. I was playing one less Becumbents, one plus one scale up, and then I don't know, minus something else, and plus one Veil of Summer. I still had a one of Stifle. Was that good? Don't know, don't care. And it felt great. I played on Thursday. I played against our friend James on Miracles. I got dumpstered by 12 posts, which is like fine. And then I played against Danny on Stoneblade, and the Miracles and Stoneblade matches were so fun. Like more than I have heard in, you know, the last like probably 3 weeks of Magic previous to that, playing Legacy on webcam. How many cards do you have in hand? Was like a frequent question because you have to really think about it. You know, like Danny blew out a Forza Will pretty early on a Blighted Agent. I was like, how many cards do you have? And he's like, three. And I was just like, oh, we're like, we're doing it. And I knew that one of the cards wasn't Oko, and it felt great. I knew that when he Forza Will, there was a cost. It felt great. He was playing three colors, and he probably didn't have Uro. I don't know. The stack battles were epic.
We're healing. We're healing, boys.
This is how it feels.
I definitely agree. You know, I was actually kind of thinking back to like how long we've been doing this for and like the legacy formats that we've done this podcast over. And I have to say, like, I think this is the first time that it's been like nice green pastures since like, cause forever, like I can't remember when did we start, but like pretty sure Ren and Six was around.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was just whatever other garbage came along. And now it's like the first time that you kind of like got through the brambles and you're like, oh, nice green pastures. The pigs get to run out and frolic and play whatever they want to play. Like it's pretty exciting. No one has any idea what to do right now. I think it's like a good, people are either like loading up their old like 2019 decks, as Gwyn just alluded to, or GPA just showed, or they're just like playing whatever. Like they're just taking some old ideas and they're throwing a bunch of Hall Breachers in and being like, let's let it ride and see what happens. But it's just, it's wild right now. I don't know. Gwyn, have you been playing any Magic online at all?
I have not. I know because there were no God accounts. I could like hit up Jeff for, I heard he's lending out cards for Impact. but no, I haven't. I have been like enjoying just like shuffling through my legacy box and being like, maybe this. Which actually kind of like, this is the first time actually, probably since we started this cast, say for like practicing for tournaments, that I have kind of been like, geez, I wish I had Magic Online right now. Because I like want to play more Legacy. Obviously, I always enjoy playing Legacy. And when, like, you know, the God accounts come around, I play quite a bit. But I've always been like, yeah, you know, I'll get my fill. But right now, it's like, oh, I would be like in there for sure. And so, yeah, I've been like making little piles and putting them back in the box and being like, well, maybe I'll sleeve this up. I'll just put most of Ninjas together, see what happens. How about you? I know you've been on, I think, did you seriously say that so that you could be like, hey, have you been online? You'd be like, oh, well, I don't know. I think you have the 5-0 lists open, so maybe you could scroll.
No, I was just curious. Like, I know that you've kind of like dabbled here and there, and you've been playing, I think we've all been playing quite a bit of the new draft set and having a lot of fun there. Like up prior to this ban, I actually like reinstalled, or I guess did like an 8 GB update on Arena and actually like bought some gems and played a bunch and had a lot of fun. It's probably like my first time in a long, long time that I've actually played draft. And it's a really complicated, interesting format, and I've really been enjoying it. And then when the bannings came out and I had already like liquidated a lot of like my tickets already, kind of like waiting for something to happen, it like lined things up perfectly. And I was just like, I think with the last episode, I was like, you know, if I had to go to a 1K right now, I'd probably just sleeve up Eldrazi and play that. So that's exactly what I did, is I already had most of Eldrazi. And then I just messaged Jeff and I said, Jeff, do you have any Cavernous Souls? You probably have some in your like janky online white box with all your bad cards. So he lent me some Cavernous Souls, and I picked up, I don't know, like I think I only had like one chalice or something, but I had everything else. And I fired it up. Immediately, O3 dropped. It was fantastic. Then actually went back and like looked at some lists and was like, oh, right, I have to play these lands or this many lands, and kind of adjusted and tweaked the deck, and then went through a league and immediately 5-0'd with it against some pretty atrocious matchups too. But yeah, it's a blast to play. And having played lands for so many, I want to say years almost on Magic Online, the ability to like play an entire league in the time that it would take you to play like one control mirror or control matchup with lands is fantastic. Like you just like, you can set on the things where it's just like, if I don't have any actions, pass priority. And then like you can take off a whole bunch of stops because nothing matters.
Real F6 value with that deck. You're like, yes, you don't, I've even done everything I'm going to do.
You don't even have to F6. Like it's just like the pass priority until like some action comes up or whatever the number two key is. And I'm just like number two. And it just turns whip by, reality smashers come in, and the tickets just come in.
Oh man, have you ever pondered on Magic Online? And there's a stop when you're playing Eldrazi and you're like, you motherfucker, you have that goddamn colorless counters to sorcery spell. And I played around it and I felt so smart because I was like, oh, I saw it. It stopped and it was going like, wee-dum, when I was brainstorming.
So I definitely, it's pretty, I guess, stock. I didn't know it at the time, but when I put the list together, I had two Warping Whales on the sideboard.
That's one.
I definitely went up against two show and tell decks, which are usually pretty bad for Eldrazi. But Warping Whale definitely bailed me out of some situations.
Oh, it's so good. Like every time you warping whale, like a show and tell or like Terminus or something, especially Terminus, you know, the Miracles players have this like smarmy look on their face. Like I'm gonna get rid of all your creatures. And you're just like, no.
Yeah.
Oh, it's good.
It's like when the kid like reaches over at the dinner table and the mom's just like, whoosh. Don't eat with your hands.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you a question as the Eldrazi man. You're on the 100% stock, like, you know, all colorless dismembers, but aside from that, all colorless. Have you tried like the green blacklist that basically once upon a time Eldrazi and then now a little bit of black for like opposition agent and I think plague engineers, some of these? Yeah, four plague engineers, your main.
Yeah, so I have. I haven't put the plague engineer in the main deck yet, but I definitely played three or four in the side. And you're changing out the Lotus, or you're changing out the spirit guides for Lotus Petals, and then some of the lands you're bringing in for Llanowar Waste, so you can get the green for Once Upon a Times to hard cast them, or you've got the black for plague engineers and dismembers to, you know, save yourself one life. Because, you know, you're playing all your edges with Eldrazi. I haven't been very successful with it yet. But I don't know. It feels okay. But there's a certain explosiveness that you get with the colorless version. Like you're trimming on like Eye of Ugin's and City of Traders, which are like...
cities for sure, yeah.
Yeah, and I think like Eldrazi gains a lot by like cheating on mana, like playing things that are like 4 and 5 on turn two or three.
That's like that's the crux of the deck, right?
Exactly. So you're sacrificing that to a degree when you're going into this whole Plague Engineer world. And when I play, I think I've played like 3 leagues with like the green black version, and like I've tweaked it a bunch. And like, yeah, XJ Cloud can post like, you know, he as he's like plague engineering elves and things like that. But at the same time, it's like there's a certain cost that you're paying for slowing your deck down and like playing a plague engineer. And my first instinct is it's not worth it. I think the literally the version that was like created in 2016 and has like almost not changed at all. I think that's honestly the version that you want to play. And I would be hard pressed to like, unless I knew I was going into a meta that has like a whole bunch of D&T and a whole bunch of elves and some goblins or something, I would be hard pressed to be like, yeah, this is a great idea.
Yeah. It's interesting because the Once Upon a Times, like you lose on your... So XJ Cloud's list is playing for Eye of Ugin's, but only one city. But despite going down on cities, you are kind of going up in a sense because of the Once Upon a Times. So you can still get those like quick explosive starts. I think you're right on the whole. Like it's not the same, you know, just slam a bunch of 4/4s in your face. But I mean, the utility is so big. And he's not playing it here in the challenge, but I think Peter Vanderham was talking about it because they're talking about how do you beat Moat? Like, people are playing Moat because Moat's dope as hell and you just can't beat it. And it's like a little world breaker in there. Oh, baby. That card is a nice one.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Endbringer. It's a really sweet card. There's a lot of matchups where you think you want it and you actually just side it out. But it like gets you out of a lot of really weird corner case situations. I've really been impressed with the Endless Ones and the Walking Ballistas. Like I beat 2 mono red decks over the last while that are just like turn 1 Blood Moon you. And you'll just be like land, here's my 4/4. Another land, here's my 5/5. And then they just die. Or even had one that like put down an Ensnaring Bridge. I was like, okay, here's my Walking Ballista. And I just like pumped it and then unloaded it on them. And they just get like, it's like any kind of prison deck where they like focus exclusively on the prison aspect and then you can kind of sidestep it. But Blood Moon is so bad against or so good against you. Like your deck is so bad against Blood Moon.
bless that required colorless mana cost.
Yeah. The one of all this dust in the sideboard that a lot of lists have is pretty sweet. Like when you're just sitting there like, well, I'm basically dead and I'm just going to like F6 all my turns until I draw all this dust. And if I draw it, this game is over for them. But I don't know, I'm enjoying it. Again, I think probably the biggest thing that I'm enjoying is actually just to like, it's like you're like the rude person or something at a buffet where you're just like eating everything and going around and sampling everything without like really trying it very much. Cause
is
like,
that you're just tasting the meta.
Yeah. You're kind of tasting the meta, but you're being an asshole about it. You're like, oh, that's some really cool stuff you got there. Don't mind this reality smasher. Next.
Yeah. It's like, what are you up to? This looks interesting. Thought not here. Oh, that is interesting. It doesn't work if I take this. Perfect.
That was actually like literally some of the text that I had. Remind, you know, good luck, have fun. And then my opponent, I can't remember what they did, but I thought not seared them. And I was like, oh man, this is spicy. And I actually like messaged them. I was like, spicy list. And they just said, nice thought not seer. And then didn't say anything else after that. But it's, I don't know. I've been enjoying it. And like having played, it kind of felt like a little bit like Rug Delver, having played that over the winter, where honestly going from like that, what Elliot's playing right now with like the Canadian Threshold, Nimble Mongoose, a lot of counter spells, going to like what was the best deck, like the Rug Delver deck as it was with Arcana Sunoco, you didn't need that many stops because you would just like force a negation, attack with your guys, cantrip, and just keep going. Like there wasn't a lot of pausing and thinking. It was actually kind of a boring, uninteractive deck in comparison to like some of the Delver decks of old, where there's a lot more like, you know, death rate.
I guess it's just from being like Rug mid range that has some Delvers in it, right?
Yeah, it was just honestly like not that engaging of a deck. You're just like, oh, there's my Klothys trigger, take the thing. Like you get the damage, okay, attack with the Delver. Oko,
Klothys is sick though.
Klothys is sick. But just again,
I just want to say like Max is out here writing like, you know, 2,000 beautiful words on why Dreadhorde Arcanist had to go. You know, you see like Lawrence Harmon is like asking people like, show me your deck, I'll like give you feedback for the new meta. And I think McBania made the most compelling argument about why they made the right call by saying that Rug Delver was playing the same as, it was very similar to Eldrazi in playstyle. Like anything supports the fact that they need to ban some cards, it's that.
Yeah, well, it's definitely not as simple as Eldrazi. Eldrazi is mainly like just a sequencing thing where you just like, in many ways, like how you masterfully play Death and Taxes, Jeff, where you're like, I need to do these 10 things in a row and hedge against these 18 other things and then it's all going to be fine. It's like that, but instead it's just like three things and you're like, I'm going to hold this. I'm going to hold my Caracas. So when they show and tell, I'm going to put in the Caracas and they're not going to expect it. Like that's like big brain Eldrazi plays.
What's the Eldrazi equivalent of a Flicker Wisp chain?
I did Warping Whale my opponent with like a colorless land and a spirit guide when they show and tell.
Ooh.
And that was like, you know, the ones where they're just like, they're busting their lotus petals. They're like, here it comes. You can't stop this. And you're just like, turn one, Warping Whale, you get out of here.
The Warping Whale is so sweet from like a flavor perspective because like it feels like this otherworldly thing you just get like ethered by. Like. You know, you have these like blasts and Veil of Summer and all this stuff. You're like, okay, there's a color. It's there's protection. I see how this works. And then Warping Whale just like fucking snipes in through the side. Woo!
Yeah. I like to think of it as that like Ace Ventura when he's like, yak. He's on the plane with the guy. Want to hear the most annoying noise in the entire world?
That's the whale.
Yeah, precisely. So, Jeff, have you been on the Magic Online?
I actually haven't been on Magic Online. by virtue of, I don't know, getting old, like one of my arms is like fucked up again. So I'm of limited like computer usage. I don't know how I do this. I don't do anything strenuous. I talk to like a doctor on the phone and they're like, sports injury? No. Like gym injury? No.
What did you do?
I don't know. The best part is that it's my left arm right now. And like 2 months ago around Christmas, if you heard me complaining about it, it was my right arm. And it's like the same thing. It's like the tendons are all fucked up. I don't know. So I'm the one-handed man right now. You look baffled.
Just so like, do we need to have like a WebMD moment where like we crowdsource science?
He just literally had like an online WebMD moment. A real MD.
I'm sure we can do better in the legacy community.
Lupus. It's lupus, right?
So I haven't played any Magic Online, but I did play on the Webcam Weekly last week. Mostly one-handed. I went through all the trouble of like putting D&T back together because I had all of the bits spread out into like real garbage decks I was playing as like a protest. I like that Mardu like Ephemerate and just like random shit like that. So I was like, God, I know I own these cards. Where have they gone? And there's just five different stacks behind me of these like half-built trash decks. So I pulled out all the pieces and I put together basically, you know, as stock D&T as I would have played a couple years ago, just with Skyclave Apparitions. And then I was sitting there and it was about an hour until Legacy started. And I was like, this feels like such like a thinking plan, you know, like settle in and get to work. And I was like, I don't know if I want to do that right now. So then I was like thinking, I was like, do I want to put like Esper Vial together? Like I literally have everything for that now, except one Tundra, but that's okay.
And Gilded Drake.
Yeah, do you have four Gilded Drakes?
Yeah, but it's Gilded Drake, you don't really, you know, that's on the side. That's fine. That's not a necessity. That's in the, you know, in the box of things
that maybe have. Sir, if you look up recent results from JTL, there's actually three main deck now. Surprise.
So I started pulling out stuff for that. And then I was like, this also feels like I'm putting on like my, you know, my thinking and work hat. And I just don't want to do that. So then I pulled out the other box behind me with all my goblin stuff and chucked red, black goblins together. And I had a lot of fun for a couple matches. Had some close ones, had some not close ones where I just went all in attack with goblins. And then I also just got totally murdered by Lauren on lands. We had some close ones and the Glacial Chasm existed, which is awful.
Do you have Muxus now? Muxai?
I did. I bought some Muxai from Card Kingdom.
I was just about to razz you for being too cheap to buy Muxus.
I bought them.
I'm too cheap to buy Muxus. I have all these Goblin cards I played zero times, and then Muxus got printed, and I was like, oh, come on.
I only got to put a Muxus into play one time, and my opponent scooped with the trigger on the stack and then immediately disconnected from the webcam.
Like by accident or in protest?
No, they just said, like, all right, and like disconnect.
Wow.
So I didn't even get to see what it would have put into play. Very sad. Yeah. But I mean, I had could fun. Have
flipped off the top of your library.
The spirit was gone, you know. This is the first one I've done in paper. It needed to be the whole thing. Now it's kind of preserved, but kind of ruined.
If you put a Muxus into play at me now, I'm going to be like, have you done this yet? And if you say no, I'm just scooping. I just want you to know. Like, you can have the win. That's my win.
Yeah, so that's really all that I've played. I've had my eye on a lot of stuff that's come up through the challenges. I mean, you know, the Esper list that won, playing like Vindicate is like extremely my shit. Just you put Vindicate in any list and like I'm immediately looking and listening. I don't know. I want to play some really bad D&T brews. I want to like actually get back on the regular D&T grind and, you know, shake off all the dust and, you know, clean out all the cobwebs that are around in my D&T brain to remember how things work.
Speaking of this Esper list, can we talk about how sweet the interaction between Monastery Mentor and Of One Mind is?
Oh yeah.
Because Mentor makes monks, not human monks. He'll recruit from anywhere. You know, he's equal opportunity. You want to come and join the monastery? Human, goblin, doesn't matter.
Yeah. Of One Mind is so sweet to be popping up in these. I mean, it's like the thing with Mentor too, or sorry, with Pyromancer too. is like,
yeah,
you know, you just make the elementals, so you just daze your thing of one mind. Yeehaw.
I haven't really thought about it, but when you say put your work hat on, I have shied away, generally speaking, over the last however many months from playing control decks online, because I'm like, I play combo deck, or I play like an aggro deck, I finish early, I do my dishes, I like don't have to you know, chill out a bit. But I'm gonna just take us into this Callum's list that he first place in the first post ban challenge. It is sweet.
Yes, that is extremely sweet.
Like, yeah, I mean, you mentioned Vindicate. I just talked about Of One Mind, Hymn to Turok, Snapcaster.
We're back, baby. Mage,
Jace the Mind Sculptor.
Did you see that one video that he posted where there was like, maybe it was from the perspective of the Death Shadow players in the finals? There was like two or three of them playing the match. And yes, they're like, okay, we're attacking in here. Like, this is good. And Callum's got a Teferi in play. So he casts a Snapcaster. And they're like, okay, this is fine. Targets Unearth, which is sorcery, but you can cast it in an instant. Cast the Unearth. And then it brought back, was it like a Strix?
Yeah, it was a Strix. He draws a card.
And then the Strix draws a card.
Of One Mind's up the draw card, and then swords the Death Shadow? Is that like the whole sequence?
And just like clears the board. And they're just like in like Italian or something. They're like, Mamma mia. They just proceed to lose.
But no Fredophobia on this podcast.
Yeah, it was an amazing line.
Instant speed unearths are so sick. Like, I've done that playing like a random unearth in like Espervile online.
Sir. Instant speed vindicates. Come on.
Yes. But like,
just the unearth is so sweet.
Sick. Unearth is sweet. Like, you put unearth in anything. Like, also, it has like, it'd be sick even without cycling, but it has cycling. It's so dope. Like, you
unearthing your mentor is so sick.
Unearthing your mentor cast is unearth again.
Unearthing the mentor is just bonkers. Like, usually, like, people will overinvest into killing a mentor because they just know that it's going to like grow
up. Properly investing.
Sure. Okay. Well, like, they will invest heavily in a mentor because it's such a game ending card. It's not like a Strix or a Snapcaster. But
I just look at this list and I'm like, all my friends are back together. Like, the bad person left and now all of my friends are back.
Now, Quinn.
Even Jace. Did you guys listen to, I think it was Eternal Dirtles, where they were talking about Jace, and they're like, oh, I love Jace the Mind Sculptor. No, it was every Eternal. And Callum was actually, I love Jace the Mind Sculptor. And I think it was Julian who was like, oh, but I hate Jace. And they were like, Callum didn't get it at first. He's like, yeah, no, Jace sucks. Jace the Mind Sculptor is great. That's exactly how I feel. Sorry for any, like, who likes Jace as a cop? No one likes Jace. Come on.
So, you know that like Daniel and the cooler Daniel meme?
Yeah. It's Jace and Jace the Mind Sculptor. Like, some of the other Jaces are playable, but Jace the Mind Sculptor is my only friend of all the Jaces. He's like he's like Stefan Raquel.
There's a reference I have to look at.
Oh, wow. Really?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right. Hit patreon.com/Canadian Threshold. If you know who Stefan Raquel is, you can get into our top tier for free this week only. That just derailed the whole conversation. I'm sorry. Should we continue? What other list did you guys like from the challenges?
I just, like, it's neat that people were kind of like pulling up old decks, but just also throwing in all the, like, we got Ethereal Forager, obviously.
Oh, the real format Warping Whale.
Teferi. Yeah, like, you got all these cards that like still exist that have been printed over the last few years. But it's not like, I want to call out this Mom's Basement Streams. That's an awesome name. But like, Quinn, we were just talking about like your 2019, your January mocks where you were playing against Josh and Tim. And they were on Grixis Control. And this is like very close to Grixis Control from 2019. And it's just awesome to see, again, like him to Tutorek, like coming back. I think that's something that we would all co-sign on.
It is weird because I'm like, yeah, him. That's a bad play pattern. It's never fun when you get hemmed. And even when you hem some people sometimes, you know, if it's like a casual term, you're like, oh, sorry.
Hem you. Yeah, but now you get to do like the anti-hem of just like, I'll say it properly, maybe, the yellow summer.
Hey!
Okay? Yeah. No swear jar. but like they go for their like turn to him and you're just like, no, actually.
I mean, even if it's still sweet. Like a good hem. It's sweet.
Like him feels bad, but it also feels like justice, you know?
Yeah. And I, you know what? If I veil to him, I would be like, I got you. You know, I'll draw my card. If I misdirect a him or divert a him, ooh, now there'll be some chatter.
Oh, you guys talking about this, to take it off the challenge list for a second, just talking about how sick him is. I just remembered my last match of Thursday Legacy playing against Rug Delver and like, sorry, not Rug Delver, Canadian Threshold. Like
a Nimbly boy,
like Nimble Mongoose, Tarmogoyf, Loam and Winter Orb in the board. Like it was 100% just copy paste, like, you know, and I got demolished by all of these cards and it felt so good. Like he's tapping two and I'm like, is this the orb? Like this is going to destroy me if it's the orb. It's Winter Orb. He had Fire Ice in the side. Like, holy fuck. It's very exciting. I miss that feeling of like seeing a deck and being like really excited about it, even if it's something you're never going to play yourself or like, you know, you feel like sucks like getting into Toract or something, but you see a him and you're like, yes.
Yeah, like the novelty is going to wear off, but the first time I get stifled and then dazed, I'm going to be like, yeah, I miss this feeling. And then I'll immediately get over it and be like, fuck this, but I respect it still.
That's the thing, is there's work into it, right? You're like, they've engineered a situation where I got fucked.
Yeah, yeah. Should have fetched an upkeep. Should have played good.
Mm-hmm. Well, that moment when they like, you have a fetch land and you've cast a spell and they like daze your spell. So you're like, oh, I have to crack my fetch to pay for this. They're just holding that stifle. McBain knows this play all too well. You're like, do I let it go or do I crack and run into a stifle?
I love that feeling when you like, the best is when you actually don't have the stifle and you just like represent it and you like set up the situation and you just look at them and you're like, do you feel lucky, punk? and often they'll just like respect because it's such a blowout.
Yeah, it's insane.
My favorite is like the one where they have the fetch and you daze with the fetch open. And then they're like, do I die to stifle or do like you spell pierce on top? Like there's all sorts of little shenanigans you can do.
I'm pretty happy with Webchem Legacy on the whole, but this isn't certainly an era. I think the first time, you know, since lockdown happened, where obviously there's things we miss about being in person, but specifically when your opponent is like daze you and you're looking at them, but you're the fetch land and you just stone cold it, like sure, daze results and throw your creature in the graveyard, whatever. Like you, I'm going to stare you right in the eyes, send a message.
You got it.
Yeah. Yeah. No problem. I need that one.
So I don't really want to go over all of these lists or anything, but was there any like one or two that really jumped out to you?
In the challenges?
Yeah.
I think the Esper list, Ethereal Forger in the second place Shadow list. I think like I would focus in on that because I think it hopefully is indicative of like you have to work for card advantage now.
Mm-hmm.
And Forger is like seems like a fair way to do that. I think Ninjas is something I talked about like last week. I think that's another way to like just like generate some card advantage. And then outside of that, I think in like the Sunday challenge, just JPA, like literally playing a deck from 2019. Mm-hmm. I think there are no cards, right?
Is that a force of negation in here?
I think
nope.
Sneak and Show is the, you know how like in the more modern formats, in a new format, you're just like, oh, I don't know, just play like mono red aggro and like make people have answers and just run them over. And that's like the level one strategy. It feels as though just play Sneak and Show is the level one strategy in a new Legacy format.
Is looking at this list, I think Goblin Crater Maker is the newest card that exists in this. And then it's Arcane Artisan. And then after that, it's like Graft Digger's Cage or no, Grizzlebrand, I think, is the newest card.
Yeah, Cage and Grizzlebrand the same set?
Cage was Dark Ascension, I think. Grizzlebrand was
Flusterstorm, actually, after that.
Oh, okay. But yeah, like, two years.
Yeah,
it's great. Like, so old. It's beautiful. And yeah, I think you're 100% correct, McBain. Like, I mean, it's JPA, so the time to strike is anytime he sits down in front of a computer. But like, when the format's wide open and you just play your, you know, linear shove it combo deck, like, it's also why if you start looking through some of these, I think Doomsday has done really well. Because it's just, you know, they have a single plan that really doesn't change much as the format does.
Yeah,
they just shove.
Third place is for Personal Tutor Doomsday with two Thassa's Oracle. It's just like, I got a plan. I'm going to do my plan.
Dukes was talking about on Twitter today. He was playing as somebody. I don't know if it was online or webcam or whatever. But he's playing Maverick. And they just went like, turn one Ritual Doomsday and just stacked like four lands at Thassa's Oracle because like there's just nothing that he can do about it.
That happened with when I was playing lands, that would happen all the time where they would just stack a whole bunch of lands. So you'd be like, your only thing that you can do often is just like, I'm going to prison you out. And it's like, did they stack enough? And did you have enough wastelands and like ghost quarters and things like that to really get them? And often the answer was no, you didn't. And then they're sitting there with, and then they're sitting there with like, what's the cycle Sakaland thing? Edge of Autumn.
Yeah.
That they can just kind of speed up if they need to. On the Sunday, I was really affectionately drawn to the fifth place TNT deck. That just seems like a very simple meat and potatoes D&T deck.
Mm-hmm. A little bit too much fussing around with the lands for my taste, playing the Silent Clearing and the Factory and the Flagstones. But yeah, this is very much just standard. The sideboard's kind of weird. You know, you're playing Active Authority, which usually shows up in like Esper Vial and like EE. But no, this is a, you can't really go too wrong if you just copy paste the 75.
Have you resolved the Karn Sign of Urza in paper?
Oh yeah. I played that for like 6 months or something in the board.
Oh,
you just have a little.
Yeah, that was a thing for a while. For
it was just like the when there's just these long grindy control games, you just put it down and you just like plus one constantly. You're just like, I'm drawing cards.
Shows you what kind of decks I play, where I've never seen that from me.
Yeah, I never brought it in against Infect.
Yeah,
yeah. It's nice. It's nice also to see like a stack of D&T decks across the challenges.
Quinn, are you drawn to any of these Ad Nauseam Tendril decks?
I was going to say, I like you guys are looking at, you know, these fair, control-y, big brain decks. And I'm like, Dan D'Amato in eighth place with this just ant list going like, 10 spells get you. Like pretty stock, one Veil main. Yeah. Play 10 spells, kill them. I love it. This is what I'm talking about where I'm like, I would actually love to have a rental account online right now because, you know, it's Tuesday night when we're recording this and I'm thinking about Thursday and I've already been like, Esper Control, no, this actual Miracles list that's playing like the Shark Typhoon and the Archmage's Charm. Like, no, Ant, no, Sneak and Show. But I would be happy to like take any of these things out for a spin right now. Ninjas, I had so much fun playing Infect last week too. I don't know, it's just... seems like a really fun time to play Legacy.
I have one more deck I wanted to bring up, and I just wanted to get the, you know, Paint Father's opinion on this. Did you see the list in 19th on the Sunday? The like rug painter, just like three Hull Breacher, four painters, Days Undoing.
I think Quinn, you linked this. It's like
I took a screenshot of this and it was like McBain.
I look at my initial instinct is it's like a two card Monty deck where you've got your Hull Breacher Days Undoing or you've got your Painter Grindstone and a whole bunch of no-sirs built in.
Yeah. And like between like Veil, six forces and four pyroblasts. Like, it's pretty easy to resolve a Hull Breacher if you have four mana.
Just so rude, like, knowing that there's going to be a situation where you Veil and like, okay, that's fine. Hull Breacher, Days Undoing. And they're like, this is not fine.
I don't think Lead with Veil is ever fine, to be honest.
Yeah, well, you know, you're just flexing at that point. Yeah, I don't know. I'm really excited. Like, one final point, I was a little bit concerned on the Saturday challenge when, how many was it? Like 24 out of the 32 top eight or top 32 decks were brainstorm decks. And I think like if that continued, we would be back to like kind of like peak brainstorm legacy. And that's not the healthiest thing. So I would prefer it if we don't get back to there. But the Sunday challenge, which is usually the more well-attended challenge just from a timing worldwide perspective, it was only 19, so it dropped down. But we'll see what kind of continues there. But again, seeing a lot more like D&T and Mono Red and Eldrazi and Goblins and things like that is always great.
Lots of people playing the Mono Red like Giant list too, which is kind of sweet.
Yeah, that's like a totally new thing, right?
Yeah, basically it's finally like a critical mass of giants with like the double damage giant in Kaldheim.
Which is definitely in my sealed pool for our little like for our
Ooh. Oh my god, when you drop that on me, god.
Extremely brief divergent about sealed pools. Did you guys see my matches this week? Who I have to play in our local sealed league?
No, who are you playing?
I'm playing yourself, and I'm playing Quinn. That is my; those are my matches for this week.
Really?
Yep.
Wow! Prepare to get destroyed.
I thought that was funny. Yeah, I'm gonna get wrecked. I think I've added about one card from each pack we've added every week.
I like McBain. How McBain is like pretty good at destroyed, and I'm like, well, this will be your softest week of all time because my deck's bad, and I beat McBain somehow.
Yeah, well, you drew your Magic Christmas Land. Like, it was. I was just shaking my head. I was like, how, like, because you had complained about losing all these games, but then you, like, curved out perfectly into, like, all of your best cards. Anyway, we're diverting.
One more divergence. You said Magical Christmas Land. So I played against Kevin, young Kevin, best Kevin. Well, obviously, also the best limited player I think any of us are familiar with in our local group. And we were playing a match and I was up a game, and in game two, we're like pretty even on board. And I'm like, okay, things are going to work. I'm going to get this together. And he just goes, okay, cast Alarin's Epiphany. And like, you know, make some birds, take an extra turn. And I'm like, okay, I can live, you know, some birds, a turn. That's fine. And he goes his second turn. And he goes, okay, cast Alarin's Epiphany.
What?
He did this two games in a row. In both in game two and game three, he cast them back to back. I could not beat that. It was so rude.
That's like six damage and then six flying power left over. That's nuts.
And he was nice enough to tell me this is the first time he's ever gotten to cast two in a game, and he did it two games in a row. Two turns in a row and two games in a row.
I haven't opened a mythic in like eight packs. No, nine packs, right?
I don't like zero mythic. I have a mythic.
I got a mythic. That's my like week two pack. I opened it up and it finally like put me down a road that to make my deck. But anyway, Legacy is super exciting. I hope it kind of stays in this like not really solved in flux. There's nothing that's too dominant stage for a while. And again, to I think the point that we started on, like, there's no giant event that kind of coalesces things. There's no like Eternal Weekend where everyone like gets the meta, it all gets worked out, and you're just like, okay, here's the three best decks, and then the meta really starts to evolve. Like right now, it's just Wild West, and take advantage and have fun.
Yeah, I love it. It's one of those things that like I love, but like I also kind of hate, because you know, you're like trying to think and you're like, okay, this is going to be around, so I really need to either adjust my play patterns this way or like bring in these cards all the time. But here you're just like, I have no fucking clue what I need to be concerned about.
Do you want to know the secret, Jeff?
Play Eldrazi.
Play Eldrazi. Be the rude person at the buffet and just go around sampling and budging in front of people. Yeah, it's great.
Do you want to? If you have chalices, you can borrow all my Eldrazi cards.
I think I need. I think the only thing I need in paper is.
Oh wait, no, you can't. I need the cities. And cities. That's a lie.
Yeah, cities are sorry. A big thing.
Well, if you play the black green, again, some of them just cut cities entirely. And it really cheapens up the deck. But again, I think my playing it a bunch, I think my opinion is that Plague Engineer is nice, but I don't think it's nice enough to really push your games over the edge. But who knows? Like, we might get into a meta where Young Pyromancer and Monastery Mentor are running around making tokens, walling up your Thought Knot Seers, and Elves just gets out of control and you need to have something. But one final note that I'll say, and this is directed at you, Jeff, as most things I say, Thought Knot Seer gets wrecked by a Skyclave Apparition. Just, it's just awful. Like,
does it?
Well, like, there's so many times where I'm like, oh yeah, I got this all locked up. And then like, Chalice isn't amazing against D&T, but like, you throw it down on one when you don't know what they're on, and they're just like, oh, I'll play a Thalia, and, you know, life goes on. But then they, like, Skyclave your Chalice or whatever creature you've got, and you're just like, oh, no. And it just...
Like, I was going to say, like, if they Skyclave Thought Knot, though, like, that just seems like...
Yeah, I was going to say...
Then they attack with Thalia, and you dismember Thalia, or dismember the Skyclave, and then block the Thalia.
Get a 4-4. Like, yeah, this seems like the thing where it's like, you know, you have something that's like so good all the time, and then there's just like something that like marginally deals with it, and you're like, this is atrocious. Get this out of here.
No, basically that's it, I guess, is that I'm just, I prefer to just kind of like have my cake and eat it too, and they're putting up.
Well, yeah, and you know it's locked up. Like, if you have a chalice on one, you're like, okay, there's no swords in this game. So you're like, I have to worry about like maybe the Palace Chandler, and you're like, that's it. But yeah, just having three or four things where you go and eat it up.
Yeah.
But I mean, the upside for you is a fucking 4-4 elemental might as well be like an Apex Devastator.
Yeah. But anyway, I'll continue to jam it for a while. I don't know if it's like an amazing deck right now, but again, we'll see how things shape up. If it continues to be like a lot of weird Grixis control or like miracle control decks, generally you can fight through those and gear your deck to just activating Eye of Ugin's all day long. We'll see how it goes. But
McBain, do you own Burrows?
I own two.
Ooh.
Bag holder.
If you get two more, did you see this?
Oh, don't play that bug list.
No, this is a Bant. It's like Field of the Dead with one Teferi, Hero of Dominaria, three drop Teferis.
I'm looking at it now.
Four Uros.
Yeah. This is the
okay.
This is Uro lands. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was looking at this.
There's an Amarius Call that you can only cast exactly off of your plains, snow covered plains tundra. Like, that's it. So if someone wastelands that tundra, you'll lumen it back. Has a Seagate Restoration. It plays two copies of Hour of Promise. Jeff, hey, do you know the text on Hour of Promise?
Yeah, it's four and a green, and you search for two lands because they're not even basics, and you put them into play. And if you have three deserts, you find three lands.
If you have three deserts, you make two black zombie creature tokens.
So close.
Which you cannot do with this deck.
But ideally, you can make two black zombie creatures when you put your lands into play. Not off deserts, but
yes. Yeah. You don't need the deserts where we're going.
Yeah, I don't know if this deck, well, it looks pretty spicy, but I don't know if I'm drawn to it.
Hey, why didn't they make like basic lands like deserts? It'd probably break some of that stuff. But I was thinking about this. You know, I have Snowlands right now and Snowlands before. Like, it'll be interesting to see them kind of take, I mean, they're probably fucking awful and they shouldn't do this, but to take the kind of also like, you know, French vanilla basics in a different direction other than snow. Make some desert lands.
Shadowlands.
If you could play Desert Mountains, though, it, like Ramunap Ruins or whatever would have been banned like 2 months before it already got banned, which is pretty fast. Is it Ruins? Remap Ruins? Whatever it is.
I think so. The one you can sack a desert and like shock somebody,
yeah,
right?
You dome someone for two, yeah.
All those lands would be busted. But, you know, the concept of something that's not snow-covered would be interesting. They'll probably completely fucking ruin it. Modern Horizons 2 is going to be, I don't know, jungle lands, and it's all going to be fucked.
Oh, God. When is Modern Horizons 2 out?
No. Let's not talk about
Legacy's
that.
Legacy's supposed to be good.
We don't want to talk about that. Let's just stay in the bubble.
Q3 2021.
We have an expiry date, boys.
But Q3 2021 is also roughly when we should all be vaccinated. You know what? Fuck. Do your worst, wizards. I don't give a shit. Paper magic. I'll be complaining to my friends in person about whatever cards come into that set. I don't care.
Well, after talking with Doges,
showing off all the Time Spiral Old Ruler cards that I bought again. Guys, look at these chalices. Spend another $200 on chalices.
Old Anyone Border Brennan chalices?
I'm tempted by those things. Any other things we want to bullshit about until we want to go to That's Gas?
I think that's it. It's pretty fun. A lot of exciting things. You know, the mood is high.
Yeah, Quinn, if you want to take Eldrazi for a spin, let me know.
I played it two times in paper. I own all those cards.
Yeah. Well, I mean, on Magic Online, you could just like, you know, F6 a bunch and win some matches. It's great.
I just like didn't have fun, which sounds crazy. Everyone listening to this is probably like, you didn't have fun just like winning matches and not doing anything, because that's every deck I talk about being excited about. It's like, what do? You play this card and then you win the game. It's fucking great.
It's different, right? The feel, the work you put in is different.
Yeah. You know, you could like convince yourself you're smart when you have double force backup and resolve show and tell. You know, I like sculpted that hand, quote unquote, with my 15 cantrips. Like playing a Thought Knots here after I play like a chalice. Please. Sir, I'm a man of culture.
Yeah. Without Drazi, it definitely kind of feels more like that vintage meme where the early game is deck building, the mid game is like turn one, and then the late game is turn two. It feels a little bit like that, but at the same time, like, it really rewards you for good, efficient deck building, where it just like things just pop off. Like I don't get it very often, but those times where you just go Eye of Ugin and drop like two or three mimics, like turn one, and your opponent's just like, this is not good. I'm going to die.
There's somewhere between the second and third. You're like, two mimics, not ideal, but I think I can salvage this. Oh, third mimic. Okay.
Yeah. And when you're side, like for a long time, I was like wondering how to sideboard, but like you like always are tempted to cut the mimics and endless ones in a lot of matchups. Cause you're just like, oh, I don't know. These guys are small. They don't really do anything. And then it's like, no, those are like your blowout games where you get like mimic. And then just cast an endless one for six and just crush him.
The triple mimic hands are never like triple mimic four lands. It's always like triple mimic, two soul lands, Thought Knots here. Yeah.
As Richard Garfield intended, please.
Right. Shall we wrap it up? As always, so. Finishing with a segment we like to call That's Gas. I'm not going to explain it because I'm feeling lazy. Jeff, who's gas this week?
I wanted to shout out at chubby_rain1 on Twitter. Goes by the pseudonym Unban Luris on Magic Online. They're a vintage player. I believe they solely are responsible for getting Luris. I have Lupus written here, but Luris unbanned in vintage, which, you know, is cool of itself. But also they had tweeted, I think just yesterday, they were playing and winning some matches, playing Luris in vintage, but playing Giant Ox and Colossal Plow. So, I mean, look, the synergy with Luris is real. You can just cast it right back. So, I mean, that's sick. I don't think they 5-0'd, or they probably would have posted, you know, hey, I 5-0'd instead of just a couple different match wins. But, I mean, a single match win is dope as hell with that deck.
Chubby Rain is Matt Murray, I believe.
I don't know who Matt Murray is.
Also, Storm, play Storm, right? I think. I could be wrong. McBain.
Just doxing people out here.
That's like public. He's like posts. He used to have Matt Murray in his Twitter before he, you know, was
removed it for a reason.
Virtual sign outside of WotC, which worked. Signs always work.
I'll kind of stick on the vintage theme, actually. I want to shout out, well, That's Gas, Kevin Cronin and Stephen Manidian, hosts of the So Many Insane Plays podcast. They had been largely dormant for the last year. They don't come up with episodes very often, but they finally released their 100th episode last week. And it was a two-parter. And I think there's going to be probably a third part to it. But I downloaded like the first two parts, and I think it totaled over like 7.5 hours or something like that. And it was like a big 100th episode extravaganza. And they talked about the top vintage formats of all time and why they were great. And then they also talked about, well, they did a set review of Alpha. And they're going through each card and talking about how unique the sets were. And then also like how they affected the rest of Magic over time. And it's an amazing episode to one, just like hear the history they have with the game and all of like the crazy weird interactions and then the history of the cards themselves. And then how it's just affected things over time. I think one of the last cards I was listening about was like Clone, and just like 3 and a blue Clone. And how like certain effects like that are just like, they haven't really changed. And they got it right the first time and it just continued on forever. And they've kind of like, you know, tweaked the knobs here and there. And then they talk about things like channel, and they're like, this is the only green card that is restricted in vintage. It is insanely broken. There's like nothing else that really functions like channel. And they'll go into discussion for like 15 minutes on the most random things. Like the card, do you know what the card Blessing does, Jeff? Is that in your white box of garbage?
No, but being from Alpha and being white means it's probably extremely bad.
So it's a creature aura, like an enchant creature, for 2 white, or maybe it's just 1 white, and then you pay 2 and +1/+1 the creature until end of turn.
Oh, it's a shade. Hell yeah. You actually got it slightly wrong. Yeah, it's double white to cast, and then it's single white to shade.
+1/+1, the creature. Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
They talked for like 20 minutes about this card. And and you wonder why, but like, again, I would all right, urge people to go listen to it, because it's just like, it's one, they're extremely well-spoken, and their vocabulary is phenomenal, but just the detail that they'll drill into on specific cards is just really thought provoking. And then the fact that it's Alpha and the wording in Alpha is just so weird. Like there's a lot of inconsistencies throughout it, and they'll just pick up on everything. And they're just talking about it. It's definitely a breath of fresh air from like the normal, like Herp Derp Legacy, cast my chalice on one stuff. So big That's Gas to them. And I would recommend, if people haven't listened to it, tune into that. If you're not a big vintage person, I would just jump to the Alpha set review and go from there. But it's pretty phenomenal.
I just added it. I'm going to listen to this. I was going to say I'm going to listen to this Walking Roy tomorrow, but it's 4.5 hours. And
that's only the first. That's only part one. Part two is like another 3.5 hours. And they're only at like D or something in the alphabet.
Ian from Eternal Turtles like wrote them an email to be like, yeah, listen to your podcast before you go to sleep. And he's like, man, and I sent it and I was like, shit, maybe they'll take offense to that, but I really mean it. They have really relaxing voices.
Yeah, Kevin Crone's voice is quite relaxing.
From Dead Format, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to get some trouble. You're kind of ignite the rivalry further here.
I'm not getting some trouble. I'm just getting my two favorite legacy podcasts mixed up. There.
Recovery.
We all know it's Ian.
Quinn, how about you?
He's one person, not a podcast.
Eh.
Wow. My last guess is ESG of the Emerald City, who I will not say who we think their civilian name is, because I'm not sure if they want that part. public or for right for that matter. That's cyber safety, Jeff. But for providing what I think will be end up being about half of this week's intro song via, was that Reddit that you gave us a screenshot of? Via Reddit. So if you ever wanted to make our lives, I was going to say be part of the cat, make our lives easier. If you have song ideas, hit us up because that's usually the thing that is preventing the podcast from getting out on time.
The best part of the podcast is the thing.
You can get a production credit.
We'll call you out on the next one if, but
this is why we can't monetize the podcast because we'll owe royalties to everyone we use the backing tracks of and also now anyone who contributes. As long as it's not monetized, I think we're fine. Anything else before we call it a night?
Where can people find our one-armed companion, Jeff?
I am on Twitter at JeffTKK. Yeah, I waited. I was like, who's our one-armed companion?
You can find me on Twitter at ServantPainter. Quinn?
And I'm on Twitter at Quinn Omori. You can find us all on Twitter at Canadian Thresh. Although I notice I've been replying sometimes at that. So if it sounds like a little bit more sarcastic than usual, that's probably me. It's very nice.
That's probably posting, Jeff. It's probably me.
Yeah, if it's like a meme that was from like 5 years ago and like kind of makes sense, that's McBain. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you all in two thresholds.
Are you guys gonna do a potty like tonight? Like emergency potty?